Blog Talk Radio.
About to go live.
Good morning.
I'll be live.
Good morning. 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 Whoever you are talking and rattling, good morning. Good morning. Give God some glory. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. Give God some glory. Give God some glory while you are on the broadcast of the Global Vision for Living Today. We're all important, but let me tell you something. We're not that important. I bet you need some money in the bank right now. I'm Dr. Cupertino. I bet you have an appointment for the doctor coming up this month. I bet somebody you know got some scheduled surgery. I believe you might need to get to that corner gas station to get some gasoline in your car. You're not that important. Give God some glory by coming on the Global Vision for Living Today with the right mind, with the right heart, and of course with the right outlook, because the world needs you. The world needs you. You weren't born by mommy, daddy just to get up and eat and go to the bathroom. God purposed you. And here you came out after 9 months of gestation. Let's keep it real. You are not that important. Whoever you are, you might think that. You are not that important. Give God some glory. Tell the heathen to back off and to back up. You're on a radio show that represents the creator God called Jehovah. Says that at Psalms 8:18, King James Version. And I think you're on this call because we're going to be talking about our topic, am I under the grace of God? And if so, what for? I'm going to read this title again because we're going to segue into our what I call our show blessing, and that's information on our event coming up next month, our convention and our conference. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Am I under the grace of God? And if I am, if so, what for? What am I supposed to be doing under the grace of God? How am I supposed to be walking amongst the living and there's some dead men walking? What am I supposed to be doing under the grace of God if I am under the grace of God? We have Colonel Harrison with us today. Hello, Colonel. He's the minister of Second Union Baptist Church, the, I believe, pastor-elect of Second Union Baptist Church. He's on the East Coast, and of course, he'll give us information at the end of our show. But I want to say hello and good morning, and I surely hope everything is going well.
Good morning, Dr. Cupertino, listening audience. All is well. All is well. Great to be on the radio show again. It's a great day to just be alive and to give God the glory. Amen.
Amen. Yes, it means God is using you again. And this topic was chosen because so many people, especially these Christian people, so-called Christian people, sitting up in the church, you know, they have some, and one out of two say the same thing about this topic. Am I under the grace of God? They all say yes. They can all do what they want to do. They can all say what they want to do. They can all wear what they want to wear. They can all imitate celebrities that show that they are not under the grace of God. I mean, oh, my God. But this question, it is very well needed, because I'm going to say this is why the world is in the shape it's in. Some say it's going the way of prophecy. Well, go on and do what Paul said. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because those people in Corinth that he was talking to, they wasn't no joke. They surely wasn't a joke in Ephesus. All those epistles that he penned, people had the attitude that they could do what they want, walk in any manner of walk they want to walk in. and go up and down in the land doing everything that they can imagine and that they see others doing. So this being under the grace of God is very important because we can approach God in the way that we approve. The Bible says to approach God in the way that he approves. And if you're under the grace of God, God has some outlines. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. Jesus came and he left two of the strongest ones ever. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So, hey, when you got that going on, there's a pretty good chance you're not out there trying to hurt, harm, and kill anyone. But this grace of God, Colonel Harrison, what is the definition of grace as applied to the grace of God? What is his unmerited grace about?
Grace, is, grace, brothers and sisters, simply means God's favor. Grace is God's favor that God has extended and conferred upon mankind because God created mankind in the image and likeness of he, God, the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, Holy Spirit. So, and we cannot earn God's grace. We just have it. It's imputed unto us by virtue of the fact that God loves mankind. Mankind, God's greatest creation, created mankind just a little lower than an angel. So grace is just God's favor that he has upon us because the way that he created us in the likeness of the Godhead that he created us, and therefore he has given us favor because we are an extension of God. God is a holy, supernatural, intelligent, infinite spirit. Mankind is flesh, and of course we are called human beings. So grace is God's favor.
Right, is it his favor or his unmerited favor? Do we deserve?
Yeah, unmerited favor.
I want you to break that down. Does humankind, mankind, do they deserve grace? You know, you got people walking around saying, you know, I'm a child of God. God called me. Yeah, God chose me. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, unmerited favor means it's something that we can't earn. God just granted to us because of his love for mankind. So as we look at Ephesians, in the Bible, the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, by grace are ye, meaning mankind, saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, yet is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So again, something that's unmerited means we don't have to do anything to earn it. It's just a gift that is given to mankind because of God's love for mankind. And that's the way that I have always understood it. Us waking up this morning, favor of God. Us being able to go to sleep last night, those of us who did sleep during the night, and he kept us safe. It's the grace of God. As we look forward to what we're going to do later on during this day, it's the grace and the blessing of God. So all of this comes together. All of this comes together into one.
Yes. Now, you said something very important that, no, it's unmerited. It's not something that we deserve. Well, let's ask this question. If mankind doesn't deserve grace, why is God holding that grace out? What does he expect of us under his grace, walking under his grace, talking under his grace, acting out under his grace, teaching under his grace?
I can probably try to say it another way. Grace is likened to people finding favor in you, me finding favor in others. We just happen to meet and we like each other and we find out something, we have something in common, or our personalities seem to gel or agree with each other. But it's far greater and more superior and far more righteous than just a interpersonal relationship between human beings. It's God, the supernatural creator of heaven and earth, relationship with mankind, whose flesh that he created in his image, in his likeness, for his glory, to do works for him on the earth. And so grace is just the favor, it's the blessing, it's the goodness, and it's the love that God has extended to mankind, because God created mankind for a purpose, to serve him.
Well, you know, with what I see going on, we better get in a hurry, and I mean in a very big hurry, to get up under the throne of God, because this grace appears to be something very powerful, and of course something that God assumed and knew that we needed, because the Bible says he sent his son to help grant self, to not help, but to be a savior and to kind of redeem back what God had started in the forefront. Now, there's a lot of people that don't understand what this grace is. They figure, oh, well, you know, it's okay. You know, I go to church. I'm carrying a big, thick black Bible up under my shoulder blade. I'm being nice to people. I'm talking about Jesus one day a week. Come on, we need to get off of up under that. We're not fooling anyone. We might be fooling those that we're sitting and grinning with, but let me say something. God reads the heart, and he knows what's in the heart and the mind of man. But for a person to be under the grace of God, Colonel Harrison, is there any requirements? Is there anything that a person should be doing if he's under the grace of God?
Yes. God's requirement is that we obey his words that are written in the Bible, the 66 books of the Christian Bible, which I'm more intimately familiar with. And he wants us to be obedient to his holy words, be obedient to his instruction, be obedient to his rules, be obedient to his regulation, which in the Bible are called laws, they call statutes, they call ordinances and oracles. He wants us to be obedient to his instructions, and being obedient to his instructions, we get to live a life that's pleasing to him, and he gives us favor in this life. Those that don't seem, those who choose not, we have free will to decide whether we want to or not obey God's holy words. We obey, God gives us favor. We don't obey, God withholds favor. It's the same with a child. Those of us have children. Amen. If our children is obedient to our instructions, we reward them. If they're not obedient, we don't reward them. And so that's just the way God's plan is, and that's the way God is. And it is written. And the Bible has endured the test of time for centuries. Either we want to obey God and live a life that's a favorable and a less challenging life, or we don't want to obey and live a life that's full of trials, tribulation, and turmoil, and hardships, and heartaches, and disappointments.
Oh, my God, that sounds scary. You know, I'm thinking I better check myself to make sure that I am under the grace of God. But now, if a person is going around saying, you know, God got my back, I got God's back, God called me back in Mississippi 60 years ago, and on and on and on. What should we expect out of a person that is walking and talking up under the grace of God? If they have been given and granted this grace by God, what should they be doing? I mean, because like I say all the time, my father says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. So answer that, Colonel Harrison.
Go ahead, Dr. Cappuccino. Anyone can talk the talk. Yes, I said, yes, anyone can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk.
I can't hardly hear you. I don't think we can hear you.
Okay, I'm speaking into the phone. Hopefully you can hear me now. It is through God's grace that we do works for the kingdom of God. Grace reflects the works that we do outwardly toward others, our love for our brothers and sisters, helping the elderly, helping widows and orphans, helping those who are among the least of us, spreading the word of God so that people know who God is. So grace is expressed through the works that we do outwardly, through our actions in the community, the neighborhood we live, beyond the community where we live, the place where we work, those who worship, worshiping at the sanctuary and so forth and so on. Grace translates into works. Works, which is actions. Do we do righteous works according to the teaching in the Bible, or we don't do righteous works? So you can tell the grace of God is upon someone based on their works, their actions, their conduct, and that which they do toward their fellow man. That's good.
That is so true. But why is it that there's been a decline in people caring about being under the grace of God, talking under the grace of God? You don't really hear that. You know, the scripture says in our time and day, it's going to be people that are going to be lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Why is it that it appears that that is so, that people that are proclaiming that God called me and he told me to do this and that, what is happening in that area? And they're saying, oh, yeah, I'm under the grace of God. God sent his son. I'm under the grace of God. But now they say that, but they can never tell you what for. What should a person be doing if they're under the grace of God? As God has, he said, I've called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. What for? What has he called people that proclaim that to be doing? And from their words and actions, are they doing it? What has God called me? I'll use me for an example. I pray, thank God, I'm under his grace. Undeserved favor. But what should I say God has put me under his grace for? What should a person's actions be if they're under the grace of God?
Again, two things. Number one, they should be doing works for the kingdom of God based on the teachings in the Holy Bible, which is one I'm intimately familiar with, the Christian Bible. What has happened, people have turned away from the teaching in the home, around the table, teaching their children about God, who God is, taking their children to church so the preacher, the pastor, can help reinforce the teachings of the Bible, who God is and the importance of God and how and the reason why everyone need God in their lives, because he's the creator of heaven and earth and everything that dwells therein. And down through the years, over the past 100 years, though myself one as examples getting up in age, I can see the transition, the change from when I grew up. My mother took all seven of us to church, my brothers and sisters and I, and we got the foundation about God, and my mother and father lived and exemplified who God was in the home and taught us godly principles that were in the Bible, not their principles, but Bible principles. And so we've turned away from that. We've cast away. And so the world is in turmoil. The world is in upheaval. You have fools, and I'll say it because Psalm 14 said, a fool said in his heart, there's no God. So you have people calling evil good and good evil. They're distorted. They don't know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth is based on principles in the Bible that has withstand the test of time. Not your truth, not my truth, but God's truth.
Oh, my God. You know what? You're really talking, because that's kind of scaring me, even listening to you. Now, let me ask you a question. There is a conference convention coming up, and I know you're excited. I'm excited. It's happening next month in Washington. Let's talk about that for a moment with the last 10 minutes of our time. Are you getting ready for this blockbuster conference and convention to be held on the East Coast, almost in your home city? What plans are you making to attend and bring your friends? You know, we had a convention conference, and that was hosted by the International Platform for Peace. I will make known my name unto the heathen. That was earlier this year in February, a 3-day jam-packed convention with 24-hour speakers, by evangelists, ministers, businessmen, politicians, welcome dinner, a message, and then a farewell breakfast. I mean, we're going to be doing the same thing. Now, what is your take on this? Are you planning to have people from all across the country join hands and join hearts for this convention and conference?
Yes, Dr. Capitan, presently I'm collaborating with preachers with regards to those who will be available, interested in participating as presenters, in addition to discussing topics for the conference that will be relevant topics that will help inform people in this day and age of confusion and discord misinformation and evil, to try to help educate people spiritually, the importance of them understanding that there are two dimensions, that there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And so we're collaborating and identifying significant and important topics that are Bible-based that need to be taught and presented to people in a way that they can understand it, so that they can consider, make a decision whether they want to continue to live the life they're living, going down the path they're going down, or whether they want to turn back to the instructions of God and live a path that's pleasing to God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. As we look at this, and in the book of Jeremiah, it says God knows the plan that he planned for us, a plan to give us peace and hope and a future, and not to do us harm or evil. So we're looking at things because so much is convoluted in the world today, relevant spiritual topics that will capture people's attention and create a desire in them to want to get to know more information about God so they can better their lives and then become good witnesses and ambassadors for God.
Oh, my God. You know what? That almost sounds scary, because you have people now that claim this kind of a religion that they can do what they want. They're under the grace. God's not going to punish. God's dead. He's not coming back again through his son. So that sounds like a lot of information. But you know what? I want to just add this. You know, this is Father's Day weekend, and I was reading this morning where there's over 12 million, I think it was 12 million people, children, youth, teenagers under the age of 18 in fatherless homes. I think it was 22 million or 120 million. I'm not sure. I think that 120 million might be exaggerated. But now, how should we feel? This is our Father's Day weekend, as I just said. We have Father's Day every year, and the number seems to get larger. What's happening with fathers in America? Are they walking under the grace of God as a father when they're no longer in the home? And the article gave a lot of information on, like, women putting them out the door, throwing them out the home, going after other women rather than men. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that they gave, but what should we be thinking about this Father's Day weekend as far as men being under the grace of God, which means if you're under the grace of God, you're doing what he says? How should we feel with so many millions of 18 and under youth living in households without a father? Does that even make sense? Talk to us for a few minutes about that, Colonel Harrison.
No, it doesn't make sense, Dr. Capitan, because in the beginning, God created the family structure with the first man named Adam and the first woman named Eve, and God brought them together, and they became husband and wife, and they had offspring called children. And so the man was responsible for providing food for his children, clothes for his children, roof over their head, and taking care of his wife. We have lost the understanding, the concept of family. We no longer look at family in a homogeneous way. We look at a family in a distorted and confused way. And so the image of family has been fractured. It has been broken because people been having, women that having children out of wedlock, meaning not married, and so therefore, while there's a father that caused the woman to become pregnant, or a man that caused a woman to become pregnant, the woman in many instances the man went his way and she went her way with the child, and so the fragmentation occurs socially where she now has to depend on some assistance from social services to be able to take care of herself and a child. And so the image of a father, a true father, has been distorted. The Bible defines a father in Deuteronomy chapter 6 as one, a man who takes not care or not only care of his family, his children, his wife, but teaches children the way of the Lord. Before they go to bed at night, when they wake up in the morning, saying a prayer with them, teaching them certain principles that they need to know about God and love and family and loving one another and honoring the father and the mother and all of these principles that have gone by the wayside. And so everything is fragmented because it's almost like throwing mud up against the wall to see if it sticks. People don't really respect men and give them the image of a true man as God defines it in the Bible because society has fragmented the image of man because man hasn't done what he's supposed to do according to the teachings of the Bible. And so, therefore, the family is fragmented, the image of mankind, men are fragmented, and the impression of children suffers because the father is not in the home, and there are a lot of children that are without fathers because of the fragmentation, changes in society, and the failure and the breakdown in marriages, divorces, and relationships.
Oh, my God, you are on fire this morning because you brought out some things that I wasn't even sure of. But now you mentioned something about the women. I believe we just covered Women's Something Month. I don't know what it is. There's so many holidays now on Washington's books. But now let's talk about the women in relationship to this. Is there anything that you teach your flock about how women should react in a family-like setting? Is it something that women ought to really look at? Because everything that I pick up and read, it talks about women not honoring the husbands, women all out there in men's occupations, women all out there driving these big semi tractor trailer trucks in there and all the fields of occupational hazards, really. But they're out there. Do you think the woman or women are not putting in that time in the home is part of the problem? Oh, you know, I need this. I need that. I need a new wash and dry. I got to work. He don't make enough. Let's talk about women, not in a way of condemning them, but is there a word for women in the household with millions of children, youth, that don't have a father? Can
yes,
you comment
Captain
on
Tina. Yes, women's domain is the home. The Bible teaches that the domain of the women is the home, and if they have children, to nurture their children. While the father, of course, is out working and making provisions for food and keeping shelter over their heads and paying the bills and so forth. And so we in a society where women want to be equal to men in terms of equal salary, equal pay, and competitiveness and so forth and so on, while that has its place in some relationships and some families, for the most part, the basic teachings of the Bible is that the women are to be at home raising their children and nurturing their children. And if they're doing anything other than that, they're distracting from that. And so we have gotten it distorted. Men and women should not be in competition with each other, whether a husband or wife or not. They should be in agreement with one another. And they should advocate for the betterment of their children. A woman's role is the home. A man's role is to be a provider and make sure that his family is provided for and safe in the home and so forth and so on. But we've gotten it twisted. It's all distorted now, Dr. Carpentino.
Yes, it's all distorted, and that's why we're going to pick up on this next week. We want to really, we know Father's Day will be long gone and over, but we really want to talk about that because while we're talking about being under the grace of God, our youth should also have that same opportunity. Love you much. God bless you. Oh, I see Georgia Gregory has come on. Hi, Miss Gregory. Georgia is out of town here.
Hello there.
I'm
here.
Hey, hi there. Hi, darling. Yes, I see you here. So God bless you all. Same place, same time next week. Come with an open mind because we're going to be talking more about this being under the grace of God. And if you are, what should you be doing? No, what are you compelled to do when you are a person under the grace of God? Thank you very much. We've kind of run out of time. We'll talk more about our convention also next week. God bless you all, and just remember, God created you for a purpose. Have a great weekend.